Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the hosts or any Web Video Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Fox Paranormal Chat. We have a special show tonight. We're going to bring you everybody that's affiliated with Fox Paranormal. It's our whole team tonight, and we're going to talk about each and everyone's separate experiences throughout the years. I have Destiny with me tonight.
Hey, how's everybody doing tonight? You can check out our page on Facebook at Fox Paranormal. Also, we have the Paranormal Fox on a group. We also have Fox Paranormal Advertising that we run. And that's a group where teams can post about their teams, their podcasts, their special events, paracons. You're welcome to post anything about your paranormal event that you need to. We're excited because we have the team with us tonight. It's awesome. The best guest we could have are these special people. We actually have everybody with us except for Andrew. Andrew works full-time job, and then he helps coach Temple Middle School and Temple High School football. So that's where he's at. Maybe he can jump on here in a bit, but if he can't, no, we miss you, Andrew, and we love you. We have a special event coming up September the 23rd and the 24th in Delville, Alabama, Deep South Paracomicon.
Paracon.
Did I say it right? I get things all mixed up, but I think I got it.
It's going to be an awesome Paracon. I hope everybody listening tonight will come out and say hi to us.
Yes, it's going to be awesome and amazing. We have looked forward to this for months.
Yeah.
We're getting ready. I've already got a suitcase started going over here. I really do.
You know, the biggest thing with all the Paracons we've done this past year was meeting all these people.
Yes.
It wasn't the Paracon itself. It was being able to meet all these, putting faces with these names that we've heard for so long.
Right. Demonologists, paranormal investigators. The list goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
And on.
It's awesome. And we just look forward to, you know, meeting everybody at this next Paracon. So come on out and say hey to us and talk with us a while, and we'll talk paranormal.
Right. We've got our team here. We've got Big Ronnie Britt. We just call him Bubba for short. When you get to know him, you know, just call him Bubba. He'll answer to it. How are you doing tonight, Ronnie?
Pretty good.
We've got Michelle Perez with us.
Hey,
how are you?
Wonderful. I'm so glad to be here.
Got Dylan Digsby with us.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
We've also got Kobe Daniel with us. How are you, Kobe?
Doing good. How are y'all doing?
We're doing awesome and great. Dylan had messed with us a little while ago and gave us a countdown, and we thought we were live. We thought it was Dan, and it was Dylan. So we started about maybe 3 or 4 minutes before we were supposed to. But Bubba, what got you into the paranormal?
Well, like I said, I was 16 years old and got into a room. It was a storage room.
So we started about maybe 3 or 4 minutes before we were supposed to.
Hold on just one second.
Bubba, what got you into the
bedroom? Anyway, we had a storage room. We were going to convert it into a bedroom. And so anyway, inside the bedroom, had a square hole up in the ceiling that leads up into the attic. So anyway, after we got it remodeled and everything, I couldn't wait to be in the room. And so anyway, up in the up in the attic, you can hear like a chair dragging across the floor, and then you hear like a loud bang, and then you can hear like a TV come on, and the radio hand be going back and forth. And, you know, as a kid, you know, you tell your mom and dad, nobody believes you. And after a while, you just kind of live with it. So anyway, after I done got married and everything, I was talking to my father-in-law. And so anyway, kind of find out as a kid, he used to live in that same house. So come to find out that up in the attic, his aunt hung herself up in that attic. So that's what got me into the paranormal, and I've been into it ever since. So
awesome. Michelle, what got you into the paranormal field?
For me, I guess it's not quite as exciting as Big Ronnie. As a kid, of course, I would have experiences. Mine was more I was sensitive. I could feel and sense things that others really didn't. I was considered weird. I would talk to my mom about it, and it was almost like she would just tell me, don't do that stuff. You know, people will, they'll think you're weird. And just, I've learned to block everything out. Mm-hmm. Well, as I started to age, and I was probably in my 20s before I was really able to understand what all of that was that I was going through as a child. And since then, I've been trying to hone in and open up a little bit more and, you know, along those lines. But as far as the actual paranormal goes, we had a spirit in our home growing up, and my mother was even able to see it. And I don't know, and along come one of our mutual friends, and he introduced me to, you know, the idea of it, because I would always watch it on TV. I'm like, yeah, that's something I'd love to do. And then that's when I was introduced to you and Michael. And it's been an adventure ever since.
Sure has.
Absolutely.
Dylan, what got you into the paranormal, baby?
Well, really, for me, I think it's the paranormal is something that's really kind of new to me. Maybe like the past year, you know, going to these paracons and just hearing about investigations and hearing about, you know, a certain little box that, you know, we don't ever really say too much about for now. But I think more my paranormal experiences and my experience in the paranormal field really just comes from, you know, growing up in a church and having my dad as a pastor and going out to different countries and stuff like the Bahamas and Haiti with my dad, just experiencing places where voodoo is like so profound, and then trying to withhold a church service within amongst like all of this voodoo and stuff going around. I really got to experience and see a lot of things more along church guidelines when I was younger, but really now that I've been studying demonology with Jeremy and hearing Jeremy talk a lot about the things that he talks about, it really kind of directly correlates with things that I've always known and things that I just kind of thought of. So it's really kind of a new experience for me coming into the paranormal from my previous background, but it's something I'm definitely excited about.
Awesome. We're excited too. We can't wait for you to dive in and really get in there with investigating. Kobe Daniel, what got you into the paranormal besides me?
We had paranormal in my home, and I was working at Waffle House, and Destiny and Michael came in, and I told them, and they came to my home and investigated it.
And the thing about that, you've been around ever since. One thing about our team is we're a tight family unit. We are blood related to Dylan. He's my son, but Michelle, Bubba, Kobe, Andrew, we're not related to, but we have this close bond. It's tighter than family when you think about it. It's tighter than most families, I promise you. We've always got each other's back, regardless what comes along or what happens. It's just an awesome adventure with you guys, and we couldn't have picked a better team if we'd have went through a team picking agency or something.
No, I wouldn't have it any other way. I totally agree. You know, for me and for you, it's the perfect team.
It really is.
We've been investigating with each other for so long. We actually know each other's moves before we even make it.
Right.
Eye contact. Like, you know, we can talk to each other just by facial expressions or a certain way, you know, our eyes go. We've got little signs that we use. Okay. And it's just an amazing team. It's tight.
Yes.
You know, do we all get along? No. Sometimes we get irritated with each other. I mean, we're family.
Family fight.
But you know, the thing that comes from this is, you know, it always ends up with, okay, let's put this back together. Let's go forward.
Right.
It makes a stronger
unit. Bubba, what would you say was the most scariest investigation that we've done? Private residence, you can just, you know, say a little bit about it, but don't give names.
Full detail. I'm not going to call out no names in our tent, but it's when we went to this one house and the lady, to me, she was possessed. And, of course, me and several others team, we members, we stayed out there on the porch while you and Michael went to try to handle this lady. And we all eventually went in there and it's just an experience that I don't want to go through again. But, you know, if I have to, I will, you know.
Right. Oh, well, you never know what's going to come at us.
Yeah, it was just one of them things, like, what if I got myself out there, you know? But, you know.
That was an interesting case you brought up. I, you know, remember that case distinctly.
Yeah.
And one thing about it, when you take these cases, you know, possession is always a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not on every case. So you do have to be prepared to an extent. And that's why, you know, we got into the demonology side. So we would be prepared.
And, it's something that our team needed. It was a lesson that we needed to learn. Michelle, what would you, I know what you and Kobe both are going to say, but I'm going to ask anyway. What was about the scariest investigation that you've done with us?
Well, you know, the city, that's the way we refer to this case is by the city. It's here in Georgia, up north. In Georgia, and not only was it was scary all the way around. It was scary, the nature of, you know, the happenings at the residence. Then there was the actual homeowners. To be honest with you, they brought another level of scary, if you will. And then not to mention, I've never dealt with or ever was in contact or even really know anything about elementals. That was really and truly the first time I was ever made aware of elementals.
Right. I remember us talking about that. What about Kobe? Let me tell you before he says this. Kobe got recruited in by accident. We needed somebody to go with us to do a property cleansing. And we were in church, and there sits Kobe. And I'm like, you want to go with us? He said, yeah, I'll go. And I bet you anything he's regretted going to that one place. But what would be the scariest investigation that you've done with us?
It would be the case up north in North Georgia.
Yes, that was something else, and it's really not something we can talk about in depth, but it was different. We did deal with elementals. We dealt with some demonic. it was just crazy.
I mean, there was possession as well. It was scary. And yeah, I'm with you in the fact that we will go 100 miles out of the way to keep from going past that exit.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I saw that exit on Facebook one day. I saw a picture of it. And I'm like, oh my God. No.
Well, that case actually brought us up a level far as our concern for safety for the team.
Different levels of safety.
Yes, and that's why I'm glad that my son is a part of this. My son's a big boy, and he likes the title of our bodyguard. I promise you, this young man, I almost said this kid, he's not a kid anymore. You try coming at one of us. He played football.
It wouldn't end well.
And I've seen him tackle and leave boys laying on the field. So he loves the fact that he's my bodyguard. Not only physical, but Dylan is growing into this type of spiritual bodyguard as well. Not long ago, I had a conversation with somebody, and Dylan called me later that night, and he said, no, that's not going to happen. I don't feel good about this, and it's not going to happen. No, that is not going to happen. I'm telling you. And I was like, well, okay. He said, no, it's not going to happen. I'm going to intercede on this. It will not happen. He said, I know what I feel about it. I know what I sensed about it. So, you know, he's going to be a good spiritual protector as well as physical with us. Dylan, what is it about a case that you are looking forward to?
I think the thing that interests me most about the cases is that it seems as if everyone is unique in its own way. I know you guys know because you guys have a lot of experience with it, but just the fact that every individual may have similarities or differences within a case, and also just the fact that all of them do need some type of help. And I think that that's the most important part of things of what I've seen you guys do and what we've been through is the most important part is really just helping people and just trying to come to a conclusion of what's going on and just try to give the house or the person some sort of cleansing and something to hold on to, because I've learned that not everybody can really handle the energy that they receive. And it's really easy for somebody to pick up energy from place to place, or regardless of what their circumstance is, it's a little bit different. But at the end of the day, there really just has to be one conclusion. I really just like the fact that I'm really most excited about being able to help a client come to a conclusion and really just give them a peace of mind about, you know, the situation that they may have at hand.
Right.
Good. Dylan's going to be hosting this show one day. Listen to him. He's doing good. I think Dylan has actually experienced energies that we've brought home after cases. Because some of that stuff is spiritual residue, and it does stick around. It's energy. And a lot of times it has followed us home, this energy. And sometimes we've had to battle at home to get rid of some of this stuff. We've actually had to do house cleansings, desperate ones. And Dylan has witnessed all this. I believe Kobe's wife has to go through their house occasionally. She borrowed a sage stick from me not long ago, said she had to do a little cleansing. So it's good that we've been able to teach our clients and teach our team how to protect yourself, what to do if something does follow you home, you know, how to guard yourself and shield yourself. Which is something that we're going to start practicing a little bit more. I feel like, you know, everybody gets careless from time to time, and I feel like with the case in North Georgia you're talking about, I think we did let our guard down because we were not expecting so much.
No, we weren't expecting what we walked into. You know, we've done so many different cases over the years, but that was brought us, like Michelle said, you know, to a new level, because the intensity in that one is like something we've never experienced up till that point.
Right. And that one came home with us and came home with us and came home with us
and jumped.
Yeah, it did, from one to another, from one to another. But I'm grateful that, you know, with some help, we were able to overcome all that. And maybe I'll put that in a book too.
Yeah, definitely.
But we've had some experiences. I want to ask Kobe this. What do you look forward to in the future of Fox Paranormal?
The team going places, going up higher than what we are now.
Exactly. Going up higher spiritually, more knowledgeable too about our cases. You know, that is my desire too. I'm looking forward to really training Dylan and Andrew, and they're going to get an opportunity to investigate with us a little bit in September at the Paracon, and I'm excited about that. I can't wait. Dylan says, well, can I just do the dinner and skip the investigation? I'm like, no, because he hasn't actually done an investigation yet. And to me, I feel like he's waiting for that right time and that right opportunity.
Well, I will say this. I kind of do have sort of an investigation under my belt, but it was also more of like a learning experience for me, I think. We were in Wisconsin, and it was after all the shenanigans.
I remember.
Me and Michelle decided that we were going to wander off with a device and go into the event room. And, you know, I've never really investigated before. So, you know, I just kind of started asking questions, me and Michelle both, and we started hearing a little noise here and a little noise there. But it honestly started to get a little more personal to me, because a few months before then, I kind of had a friend who passed away, and it almost seemed as if what was trying to talk to us was trying to imitate my friend who had passed away. I would ask specific questions once it got to this point, like, you know, what high school did you go to? And it would say, you know, Temple High School, because that's the school that me and him both went to. And also just questions like what sports, and, you know, we would hear basketball and football and stuff. And, you know, that was honestly why I say that was a learning experience, is because that very next day, Jeremy Leonard actually touched on the fact that, you know, entities can imitate their self to like almost be like your friend in a sense. And, you know, if we wouldn't have took the steps and the precautions that we did and left when we did, you know, it could have ultimately ended up to be, you know, something that might have just, we would have took back to the room with us or what have you. But, you know, it came to a point where really I was the one who was like, all right, Michelle, let's go.
Yeah.
You know,
and of course we did. We made it known that it must stay in that room, that it could not follow us outside of that room.
Right. But I think our paracons are important too, because Dylan and Andrew will get to see other people and hear them speak, and you gain knowledge by listening, you know. And I think it'd be an awesome thing if, you know, I would like, there's a few I would like to set in on when they speak too, and so I guess we're going to be swapping it out with this. With the Paracons, Dylan's met so many people, and it's just awesome. getting out, you know, we've come from this little team in West Georgia to we've really stepped out. We're investigating further and further away now. We had someone contact us. Was it Houston, Texas? Also, Indiana. We get calls from all over. Of course, I can't go to these places right now. There's no way we can go. But I'm working actively trying to find someone that's local to these people or don't mind traveling a couple of hours to get to them so that they can get the help that they need. I wish we could, guys. I wish every call that came in, we could just say, okay, pack a bag, load up the equipment. We're on our way to Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, wherever it is we need to go. But some folks have to work. We had to pay the bills.
You know, it's hard with these cases far off because, you know, it costs quite a bit of money to transport a whole team and stuff. You know, I know there's some people out there that have no problem at all putting the price tag on stuff.
But we'll never charge for an investigation.
We've never charged for an investigation. No. And I don't plan on starting now.
No. No.
But it does get expensive, you know, to do some of these cases when they're a long ways from here.
Right. Right. But we've got to stay true to the calling.
Yes.
Yes.
True to the calling. Not long ago, I think it was Teresa. It always been a couple of years ago, I think, sent me a little video of somebody that was charging $10,000. To cleanse your home, to get rid of the demons. And I'm like, what? Yeah.
I remember that.
What? Yeah, how can you sleep at night? What guarantee can you give people that you can totally get rid of what's going on in their home? There's no guarantees.
No.
I can't guarantee a client, hey, we're going to do this house, it's all going to be gone, and you're never going to have any problems. I can't promise that. I can promise that we will work with them as long as we have to,
yes,
you know, to help them. And we've got clients that still to this day we talk to, we counsel with. You know, it never ends with our clients. It's ongoing.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's always been that way with us.
Yeah.
But
unless a client makes it difficult.
Yeah. Which, you know, it has happened in the past, but we've dealt with it in a respectful way.
Right, right.
We always try to respect, you know, the client's wishes. But, you know, there's so many individuals out there, you know, that's not really got their soul into what they're doing. And they want to put a price tag on all this different stuff. And I just, you know, in my heart, I can't do that to people. You know, I started, you know, paranormal investigating to help people. And I'd like to keep that level of investigating, you know, until the day I decide to call it quits.
Right, right. And I think Kobe will agree with me on this. Our team pretty much had to grow up fast. Over the past year and a half, we were forced into going up a big level, moving up to something we weren't used to. We were forced into this. And, you know, I think it's been for the better of the team. We look at investigations a lot differently than we used to. We proceed with a little caution. You know, I can't speak for the rest of them, but I'm sure they'll agree with me. We've had to learn how to proceed on investigations with caution, regardless what the claims are.
Which, you know, I think is a good thing, really.
We've learned the hard way. But a team that doesn't grow will go nowhere.
No. I mean, that you have to have that growing spurts. In the profession of paranormal investigating, and you got to allow yourself, because there's so many different ideas out there that are solid that you need to embrace.
Right.
And you can't just, you know, say, I know everything, so I don't need to listen to anybody. You're hurting yourself when you do that.
Right. I don't know everything.
No.
I don't.
Nobody knows everything.
And I've studied, I've studied different subjects, UFOlogy. I've studied demonology, cryptids. I've just started that. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Also elementals, different things, just trying to gain this knowledge. Because when we go on an investigation, we never know what we're running into.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different types of paranormal that it's more than just ghost, you mm-hmm. know. And when we first started, it was just like all about the ghost. Thrill seeking for me. Oh yeah, let's go do this. Because the first investigation that I went on, it's kind of a mini investigation. We went into a cemetery in Montgomery, and I could look back at the trees, and we saw shadows just darting in and out of the tree line, moving all over the cemetery. And I wasn't scared. I was so fascinated. I'm like grabbing Michael. Look, did you see that? That's awesome. That's amazing. But I've grown out of that thrill seeker to really understanding, hey, you know, you got to do this to help people. And I guess I got to a point where for a while that I dreaded getting calls because, you know, afraid of what we were going to run into, a little gun shy, but I've learned just to embrace it. It's now calling, and whatever we run into, we're going to handle just head on, just move right into it, whether it's the ghost of grandma or it's Doomball of the demon.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
going to proceed.
I know I've crossed over to a different level of paranormal investigating. For a long time, I mainly focused on the EVP and ITC side, instrumental transcommunication, and I trained with, you know, some of the world's most known experts in ITC and EVP work. And, you know, I'm proud, you know, that I had that opportunity years ago to do that. But a lot of people don't know that. You know, that I got to work with, you know, a couple of individuals that was known all over the world mm-hmm. for their work in the field. But now, you know, I'm getting into a lot of different, you know, I'm getting into the
investigative,
the spirit side of paranormal, the demonology side. You know, it's just become a big melting pot.
Right. It's more than just an EVP on a recorder.
Yes, absolutely.
Let me ask Kobe first. How has becoming a paranormal investigator, how has it affected or changed your life coming from, you know, living in a home where there's paranormal activity? How has it helped you? Or tell me what the differences are since you've been a member of the team.
Made me more cautious and more aware of my surroundings mm-hmm. and of people in general. I'm always trying to read people, find out about people, how they act, and, you know, what they're thinking.
Absolutely. And one thing I've learned through the years is being able to really feel the energy off of people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that paranormal investigating has taught me. I'm an empath, I'm a medium, and is I've learned to watch reactions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes you safer in your surroundings. And these are things that I wouldn't have learned had it not been for paranormal investigating. I know it sounds crazy and weird, but, you know, people who are affected by spirits can do weird things.
Most definitely. Me being an empath as well, Kobe, he can tell you he probably left out of there with bruises all over him. Being at that case up north, the situation that we was in inside that one small building. And I keep, you know, nudging him, watch, you know, get ready. If we need to act, be ready, you know, because of the energy, it was so strong to the point it was now very negative. And it was very scary in the fact that it could have turned real bad, real quick.
You know how when you're watching a movie and the music starts out a little creepy, and as it goes, the situation they're in on a movie may get more dangerous and more intense, how that music builds and builds and builds and then it explodes. Mm-hmm. That's how I compare the energy that we were feeling at that place. It just kept building and building and building. And when I thought it was about to explode, that's when Michael pulled his shirt up and showed his pistol.
And
I was like, thank you.
Yeah. And luckily, you know, three of us was armed.
Right.
And it could have been a very bad situation for everyone involved.
Right. And clients, you know, we have some of the best clients in the world, and we've worked with some of the best. But clients can be affected by these spirits. And, you know, I think that was what was happening mm-hmm. there. And, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, our clients send messages. Thank you so much. You'll never know how much you've helped, what you've done for us. And that makes it all worth it right there, because, you know, we could have left. We could have said, no, we're backing out of this. We stayed, we finished the job we went for, and we just did what we do.
Well, the thing that really kept us going back to help was there was a child in the home.
Right, right. And
we're not, you know, we have to. There's a kid involved. So that's what I think mainly kept us going back to help, even though the situation and circumstances, they were very dangerous.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't want to lose that child.
How can you say that paranormal investigating has changed your life, either for the bad, the good?
Well,
Ronnie.
It made me more, like Kobe said, more aware of things. It's like when I see something now, I know I'm not going crazy, one thing, but it makes me want to look into it more and see what it is. It's just like my home. You know, when I first bought my home 10 years ago, I go in the kitchen, there'd be cereal boxes bouncing on the corner of the box sitting in the kitchen floor, and the TV will come on by itself and all that stuff. And so anyway, since I was in a paranormal field, I knew what to look for and what to expect. So,
and Michael, go ahead.
He's made me a lot stronger than what I was before I joined the team.
And Michael, our fearless leader, through the years, how would you say investigating the paranormal has affected you?
Well, I would. It's affected me. I take it a lot more serious than I did when I first started investigating. You know, like a lot of people, I think I started originally into it for the thrill seeking thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got hooked on the helping side and trying to work with clients and maybe better their lives. And that seemed to become an overwhelming focus for me.
And Michael is good with interviewing clients. I've done a few interviews myself, but they don't compare to Michael talking with the clients. Usually he interviews them, and then I pick it up from there and do most of the communication. And that's only because the job I have, you know, I can talk during the day.
Mm-hmm.
It differs from your job. During the day, you can't have phone conversations at work. I'm not supposed to, but I do. But I think we work good together.
No, we absolutely do work good together.
We do.
We're a team.
And there's no jealousy.
No.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not jealous of Michael's, anything Michael gets accomplished. I'm not jealous. And I sure hope he's not jealous of me.
No, I'm actually very proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
You've grown so much in the paranormal field. And it's just made me smile in my heart when I see how far you've come.
Oh, thank you, baby. You're going to cry.
No, no, I'm fine.
That's the sweetest thing.
You know, as far as investigating and stuff, I've investigated some of the biggest places around over the years. But I've gotten more evidence out of a private investigation than I have going to these public venues, to investigate.
And we love going out places, and we call them our fun investigations, where we can go and just have fun investigating a big venue that we pay to go to or something. I enjoy, and I miss that. We've got to line some stuff definitely. Anybody can answer this. Would y'all say paracons or investigating or team meetings? What is the funniest thing that's ever happened? Can y'all think of
some? I can. For me, it was the third floor of Old South Pittsburgh Hospital. Michael, Destiny, myself, and Jeremy Leonard. And the interaction that came out of the portal with Jeremy.
Not only the portal, the SLS.
Yes, yeah. The SLS.
But as far as that is how the spirits were talking to Jeremy.
Oh, yes, yeah.
They were giving him a hard time.
Well, you know.
He was giving them a hard time, too, though.
Be truthful. Jeremy started by flirting around with this female spirit in one room.
Nellie, yeah.
And she took to Jeremy. I mean, she had a liking for the man. And I was catching it on the SLS.
Right. What else? What else?
I think the funniest part for me is when I was I think it was me and you, Michael, and a couple other team members. We was at this house. This man went to bed, and I was seeing an image on a window.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And so I went over some windows and talked while the guy was sound asleep. I was hovering over him while he was asleep, cleaning his windows in order to get that image off
the window. Yeah, I remember looking at the monitor. I see Ronnie in there cleaning the windows over a sleeping.
Yeah, why this gentleman was sound asleep. It wasn't done if he woke up, saw me hovering over him.
What?
You know, but one of the most mind-boggling things we've ever caught, Ronnie and I caught LaGrange.
I remember
that. Was so interesting, and we've never seen it again on any other case.
No?
Never.
Actually, we did. Not like that, but similar. We actually saw that, and what it was is it actually looked like a worm, a fat little caterpillar.
I don't know about that.
I'm talking about when we were in Marietta.
Oh,
were you up there with us? Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you about this one then. We investigated a house that was being remodeled, and I kept seeing that, and I thought on the monitor, and I thought, what in the world is that? And it would move up and down. And so I thought, it's a spider web. So I go clean around the camera and run back up to the monitor, and it's still there. This time it's moved, and it's actually in the air, and it's close to a couple of team members. And it's hovering. And by now it's kind of see-through. I never did figure out what that was. It drove me crazy. I was running back and forth from the monitor out there. And then one of our she's not with us anymore, but one of our seasoned investigators all of a sudden felt it, and she hurried the girls over toward her and told them not to leave her sight, because by then it had not only manifested and we saw it on the cameras, but it was beginning to make its presence known with her. But it did. It looked like a caterpillar. It was not a bug. I don't think it was, because it didn't fly. It kind of stood still. And I kept, we had the camera on the ground. That's why I thought it was a bug. But I went, I cleaned up around there. I even brushed grass around it. I moved the camera up and I would go back and it would still be there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that it moved toward the team members and became transparent, you know, I still don't know what that was, but that was similar to what you guys caught in the Grange.
Yeah. I think the most interesting thing that I've witnessed and Michelle's witnessed, me and her, we was at OSAP Expert Hospital. We was at the monitors and we was watching everything. And Destiny, she came from the hallway holding a coffee pot and she was going to go to her room to wash her hair because we didn't have no hot water up there. And as soon as she went down and went into room five, Michelle and I, we looked down at the monitors and Destiny was outside.
In the courtyard.
I mean, in the courtyard. And I mean, it was just like within a second from time you look up, the time you look at the monitors, she was already outside.
And there's no and way. Still today, so no, there was no way that she could have gotten there because she would have had to walk in front of us.
Exactly.
There was no exit. There was no door. She would have to physically walk, you know, in front of us to get outside to that courtyard. There was no other way.
Yeah. And she was carrying the coffee pot itself, the glass part, but she said that she wasn't carrying that. She was carrying
a pitcher.
A pitcher.
Like a big Rubbermaid pitcher, like you'd put Kool-Aid or tea in. And I'd actually heated the water up with the coffee pot going through the coffee maker, and I filled up that pitcher. But that was after I came back inside. So I never walked up that hall holding a coffee pot.
That
never happened.
That, we'll call it an entity, spoke to us and smiled to us and said, I'm going to take a shower.
Yep.
It was a doppelganger.
Because she said, I'm going to go take a bath. I got my own hot water. I heated it with a coffee maker.
But you see what all you guys are doing. Over the years, we've created these memories doing these cases, and now you guys are sharing your memories of everything that we've experienced, all these different locations.
That's right. Going to be one that Michelle and I will never forget.
But I will tell you a funny one, and it involves Destiny. And it was at Sloss Furnace in Alabama, and she was watching the monitors. And what happened?
Well, I'm watching the monitor. And I'm out in the courtyard all alone. And I volunteered to do this. I said, oh, no, you guys go on and have fun. Because if I'm not feeling anything going on and I ever say, hey, I'll watch the monitors, you guys go on and investigate. It's because I'm not feeling anything. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching the monitor and all of a sudden this big thing jumps right in front of the monitor and it has legs. And it is huge. And I'm sitting in a chair and I'm leaning back in this chair. When that thing hit, I almost fell backwards in that chair. It was all I could do. I was swimming in midair. What it was is a spider had jumped on the front of the camera lens. Mm-hmm. It scared the holy heck out of me.
And the cameras make a small spider look huge, like a tarantula.
Really? It did. It scared me. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to
kind of like the haunted air freshener.
See, right, that was funny. That's on TikTok. If you guys get a chance, go to TikTok and look for the video, the haunted air freshener. I promise you'll laugh.
Yeah.
See, Dylan, here's the things you got forward to look to. It's more than investigating. We have such a good time. There's seriousness. There's time to have fun. There's time in private investigations, never a time for fun in games.
No.
That's always a no-no. But I can't wait to make memories with you and Andrew.
And that's something I'm excited about, too. I noticed in our meeting that we had Sunday, you know, there was some definitely serious times that we had. You know, each of us kind of got our own little scolding. But, you know, there was also those funny parts of it where, you know, we just kind of take, you know, a couple minutes to just laugh around and joke around. And, you know, that just kind of keeps us close. Like, I know you mentioned we're kind of like a family. We really are. I know that I haven't really been on the team on the actual team as much, but, you know, I can remember back in the day in my high school days, y'all'd be having a live stream or a meeting upstairs, and I would sneak into the kitchen and grab me something to eat real quick and then dart right back downstairs.
Yeah.
you know, those are kind of the memories I have of it.
Yeah.
But there's kind of one thing in particular that I remember, and it's not so much – well, it's kind of funny, but it's also kind of crazy, is our Paracon in Las Vegas. Me and Big Ronnie were bunking with each other, and, you know, we're just sitting on the bed, and there's like a whole safe beside the bed and stuff. So yeah. We're just kind of talking to each other, and we're like, huh, you know, I wonder if there's any money in here. Yeah. Yada yada. So we look in there and there's no money. Of course there's not any money, but I think it was Big Ryan that brought it to the attention of, wouldn't it be funny if there was a false bottom in this safe? So we lifted up the tiny fabric that was in the bottom of the safe, and sure enough, there sure was a false bottom. And, you know, we found some sugar for our coffee in Las Vegas. And I really thought that was hilarious, and that kind of opened me up to how fun that it really could be, because you never know what to expect when you're traveling. Don't worry. And, you know, for the
most, I flushed the packet of cocaine down the toilet.
Yes, 100%.
We all fried.
We took it straight across the hall and made sure that it got disposed of safely.
Yes,
but like I said, you know, it's those things that, I mean, you never know what's going to happen when you go somewhere, and it's just to always expect the unexpected. And it's always been a good time, the three or four Paracons that I've been with you all, and working the table and meeting people with y'all. It's definitely something that I look forward to doing more of in the future, and it's something that I've honestly has been a highlight of my life, really, the past couple Paracons we've been on, just because the camaraderie that, you know, I probably didn't say that right, but just of all of us together, and, you know, just having fun and being serious, and, you know, how we all just kind of learn from each other. We all have to use each other to get through an airport or get to the rental car or whatever.
I think it's just all really cool.
And it does take them one of us.
Because you'll be following one, and then you'll see, okay, they've turned the wrong way. Hey, somebody else will pick it up and say, this is the way over here. Then you follow that person. And, I mean, it takes us all to
you get really to apply. Tired really quick from being
Atlanta is easy for us to navigate because we're so used to it. It's when we go to another state or to another city that it takes all of us.
Right.
It's like when we went to Las Vegas at the Paracon down there, it took all of us trying to figure out where the Paracon was at, huge as that hotel was.
Oh my word. Yeah. I think we walked 2 miles to get to it.
Yeah.
Hotel.
We stayed at the MGM. I mean, it took, seemed like almost a mile just to get to the Paracon.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, Kobe had to step back from the team for a little while to take care of some personal business, and he's back. Bless him, he missed all this. But Kobe, there's going to be so many adventures coming up. It's going to be exciting. And Kobe, there's a reason I didn't ask you if anything funny ever happened on an investigation that you could remember and talk about. Because the best I remember, that involved me
did it, Kobe, at the funeral.
So we're not going to talk tell. About that. No, we're not going to talk tell, about Kobe. It. No, we're not going to talk about that.
The weekend at Bubba, the
he thought he set the elevator on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and then we had Buzz Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear.
Oh, yeah. See, here's the thing. I dreamed of Buzz Lightyear probably two nights before we left to go there. I dreamed I was in a basement on a dirt floor, and I'm telling y'all right now, I don't investigate basements. And I had a dream Jeremy was sending me in a basement to investigate, and being very insistent, and nothing good happened down there, because I don't like basements. They're terrifying. But I dreamed I was in a basement, and it had dirt floor, and there was Buzz Lightyear coming at me, and I remember picking up an axe and I was hitting at it, and then here comes several more little small ones, and I shared this with the team before we left, and doggone, we get to the old Southern Funeral Home in Kosciuszko, Mississippi, and here comes Bubba up the freaking steps with a Buzz Lightyear that was in the funeral home. And I said, hey, if that Buzz Lightyear starts walking or talking or coming near me, he's getting chopped up. But that was a fun time. And I highly recommend this place, the old Southern Funeral Home. If you guys have never been, you don't know what you're missing, but hit me up and I will give you the information on it. You won't be disappointed. This place never disappoints.
No.
And it's not one of those real, real, real out of price range places to investigate.
And then hasn't been over investigated.
And Donald Martin is caretaker for it. And he is awesome.
I want to give Donald a shout out for everything he's done. You know, he lost a very good partner and good friend. And Noel was a good friend of ours, too.
Yes,
we miss him dearly.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to get back there soon.
Yeah.
I'd really like to go back. It's a long ride, but it's so much fun. Well, you know, our mission and our goal is to help people who have paranormal problems go into their homes or their businesses or their property, try to find out what's going on, even if it's just the refrigerator knocking when it kicks on and off. You know, we try to listen to all our clients, and every claim is taken very seriously.
Always.
You know, but the first thing most I say is, I know you're going to think I'm crazy when I tell you this. No, we don't think you're crazy. We don't think you're crazy at all. No. All claims are taken very seriously. We're able to debunk some of them, and some of them we do have to say is paranormal. Mm-hmm. We're not one of those teams that charge for investigations. I don't know a lot of teams that do. In the paranormal world, there's a lot of awesome and amazing teams out there. And there's quite a few that I would recommend on a case. Could we not make one? One of them is Jessica. We had her on the show 3 or 4 weeks back. Awesome person. She runs a paranormal team almost in South Carolina. We've met some awesome teams, and, you know, I love meeting other teams that have goals and visions the same as us. It's just amazing. But we do a lot of investigations in Alabama, Georgia, and look, we'll go to the beach.
Yeah.
You got a beach house you want to investigate in? Mm-hmm. Call us. We'll go.
Or a cabin in the woods?
And I do, and it's on my bucket list, and I want to do this. I want to investigate a haunted campground for a weekend, a whole weekend. I want to go and just spend the whole weekend investigating one that actually has claims.
Well, you know, we've talked about all the funny things that's happened, but, you know, there's been a lot of serious investigations over the years, too.
Right. Yes. There has been.
Yes.
A lot of crying with clients, a lot of counseling with clients. I remember we did an investigation way up north Georgia, maybe Dawsonville or somewhere. After we got there and talked, it was a friend of the family. She's a relative of one of my relatives by marriage. And regardless of the situation, I was determined we were going to go anyway. She had been abusing drugs, and you know, one of my team members was able to sit down with her, talk to her, and counsel her, mm-hmm. and cry with her, and hold her. And to me, that, and I can't say her name, she's completely out of the paranormal due to religious beliefs, and I respect that. But for me to watch back, sit back and watch one of our team members do something like that was awesome. You know, it made me feel like proud mama. It really did. And as I look and I see Big Ronnie, he's a big jokester, you know, always telling jokes, always got to be the funny guy. But when it's a time to be serious, nobody's more serious than him. Mm-hmm. You know, if he feels there's danger, he's the first one to jump in, you know, or step ahead of us to make sure everything's okay. Kobe is good at helping me. Kobe knows how to pray. And he's got no other title on that on the team. It's stand beside me and help me. Michelle is, she's Michelle. She's just, I love Michelle. Michelle's always got my back. I will say this. We're just not trying to stab him in my back. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. I'm playing. But seriously, I know that I can call her anytime, day or night, and she's there. We had to do a deliverance, and there was no time to call her. And she's like, Destiny, you should have called me. I would have come. I would have come straight there. All you had to do is just say, get me there. You'll remember this. And I was like, there was no time for it. Mm-hmm. And she said, don't you ever think you got to do this alone.
Never.
Dylan, I'll tell you right now, to see my son coming up and doing this and knowing that someday he's going to be running Fox Paranormal. And I know this and feel it with everything within me. He's going to have podcasts that are going to blow your mind. He's got so much inside of him, and I can't wait for it to all come out. I can see him speaking someday at Paracons on subjects because he's learning and he's going to have a lot to say. And I just want all you to know, and even Andrew, I'm sure he'll come back and listen to this later. I love each one of you, and you are all my family. And I just want to tell you, I appreciate everything you do. Everything. I appreciate Michael introducing me to paranormal investigating. Oh, we've had an amazing time.
It's been a ride.
Yes, it has. And I know that if I left here tomorrow, Fox Paranormal would go and it'd be stronger than ever. You'd push and keep it going. It has been so good having you guys on the show tonight. You'll never know what y'all mean to me and Michael.
Yes.
Michael said 100 times, you know, Kobe. When Kobe wasn't on the team, his name would come up and he said, I miss me. Kobe had helped me load the equipment. I could just mention it. Kobe had it loaded up before I could do anything. And Kobe's still like that now.
Well, it's like when we got back from Mississippi, before I even got out of the truck, everything was in the house.
Right.
It's like, and how did that happen?
That's Kobe.
And I want to mention, too, Kobe has come a long ways on investigating. You know, after reviewing the last case, when Kobe assisted me in EVP sessions, he did a fantastic job. He was asking questions. He was solid. And, you know, I was just very impressed, and I'm very proud that he's come so far.
Yeah, and he got some dang good responses.
Yes, he did.
We'll have to let him listen to them. But again, it's been amazing. Thank you, Kobe.
You're welcome. I love y'all.
Love you, too. Thank you, Michelle.
Love you guys.
Love you, too. Thank you, Dylan.
You.
Big Ronnie.
You're welcome. Love y'all.
So we're going to close out now. I know Stan's having some technical difficulty. If you'll send him a message and tell him we're wrapping it up. Still having a little technical difficulty, but.
He's on.
Yeah, I think he's on. But till next week, guys, I appreciate you. I love you. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Send us a message and let us know you listened. That would make our day. And until next week, I don't know who our guest is next week, but I'm sure they're going to be awesome. Peace and love. I'm out.
We're completely off.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're completely out.
Well, I'm going home.
Ready.
5 o'clock.